Okay, let's unpack this a bit. Have you ever stopped to think, I mean, really think, about how you understand something simple, like the word bird? Is it some strict dictionary thing or something else? You probably picture, I don't know, a robin, maybe. But penguins, ostriches, our brains handle all that somehow. So today we're doing a deep dive into prototype theory. It's this really fascinating idea from cognitive science. It helps explain how our minds organize, well, everything, basically, and crucially, how we learn language. We've gone through a bunch of articles and research to kind of get to the heart of it for you.
Yeah, and what's really enlightening, I think, is how this theory shows your brain using these typical examples and these mental prototypes to make sense of the world. So our mission here is really to unpack what that means for how you learn, how you perceive things. It goes way beyond just words.
Okay, so if bird isn't a checklist, what is it then? How does prototype theory say we actually categorize things?
Well, the core idea is we don't use rigid definitions. Not really. Instead, we understand categories by referencing a prototype. That's the most typical, the most representative example, like your robin for bird. That's a great prototype.
Ah, okay. So it's less about rules and more about resemblance.
Exactly. And that leads to what's called graded membership. A robin is a better bird, closer to the center of the category than, say, a penguin. A penguin is still a bird, but it's less typical. And it also explains why category boundaries are often fuzzy. They're not sharp lines.
Right. That makes sense of those endless debates, like, is a hot dog a sandwich? Our brains aren't checking boxes. They're looking for similarity to some core example. So, okay, that's how our adult minds work. How does this prototype idea help with kids, when they're first learning to talk?
Oh, this is where it gets really powerful, I think. Kids aren't sitting there memorizing abstract definitions from a dictionary they can't even read yet. They identify a prototype for a new word, and usually it's at what we call the basic level. Think dog, not the broader category animal or the super specific poodle. They grab onto that middle ground first.
And that explains some of those charming mistakes kids make, doesn't it? Like when a toddler points at a cow in a field and shouts, "Doggy," we might correct them, but maybe it's not just a random error.
Absolutely, not just random. It often looks like an error to us, but it's actually the child's brain hard at work. They see the cow, four legs, maybe a tail, makes noise, and it shares key features with their dog prototype. So they overextend the category based on that resemblance. It's logical, in a way.
And the flip side happens too, right? Underextension. Like maybe a kid only calls their own red sneakers shoe and doesn't apply it to dad's boots or mom's heels.
Precisely. Their initial prototype for shoe might be very specific, their shoe. Those other things, boots, heels, they don't match the prototype closely enough yet. So these aren't really failures. It's the child actively testing the boundaries, refining their mental categories based on feedback and more examples. They're like little scientists figuring things out.
Okay, so it's dynamic, it's based on experience, which must mean these prototypes aren't universal, are they? They must be shaped by our culture, our environment.
That's a critical point. Yes, prototypes are learned. And you see this really clearly when you look across languages. It's fascinating. Take siblings in Thai versus English. In Thai, you have a pe for an older sibling and von nong for a younger one. The key feature is relative age.
Whereas in English, it's gender, brother, or sister. Age isn't the main thing baked into the word itself.
Exactly. So the very concept of sibling has a different prototype, different crucial features depending on the language and culture. It's not just different labels for the same thing. The underlying conceptual structure is different.
Wow. So learning a language isn't just vocabulary flashcards. It's like you're internalizing a whole culturally specific way of carving up reality. You mentioned Thai. What about that verb, jin?
Right, Pigfin in Thai. Its prototype is broader, covering consumption generally, so it means both to eat and to drink. For English speakers, eating and drinking feel like fundamentally separate actions with distinct verbs, but the Thai prototype groups them differently.
So a Thai-speaking kid learns that relative age is the defining feature for siblings, while an English-speaking kid learns gender is key. That's a
Yeah.
fundamental difference in how they see family structure.
It's a different blueprint for reality, learned through language.
Okay, let's bring this together for you listening. Prototype theory, it really shows language learning as this dynamic, intuitive process. It frames the child almost like a little cognitive scientist, building models based on the typical examples they see around them.
And the big takeaway is that learning a language goes much deeper than just words. It's about learning a specific culturally shaped way of seeing and organizing the world.
So here's something to think about. How many other ideas you might assume are universal things like love or justice, maybe even how we perceive time, could actually be shaped by cultural prototypes you've never really questioned. What does that imply about how well we actually communicate across different cultures beyond just translating words, something to chew on?